Let me read a few verses here from the book of John. In the first chapter of the book of John. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent prophets and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, said the prophet Isaiah. I want to talk to you a little bit here this morning from the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I begin by making this remark. One of the things that distinguish or make the Bible different from everything else that is written is that it is a book of questions. It has many questions in the Bible, chapter after chapter, and book after book is a line of questioning that has to be answered somewhere or the other by those that read the Bible. So my particular object this morning is to call your attention to one of the questions found here in the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And it is the 31st verse. This is the question. It's a question of all questions, I think. It's a question that every man, sooner or later, will have to face. And the question is this, in verse 31. It says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." Now here's the question. "For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Now that's the question. That's probably the greatest question that'll ever be asked of us. Why will ye die, O Israel? And I think that somewhere here in the Scriptures it says, "Why will ye die?" If it doesn't say it in these words, it says it in that sense. Why will ye die when the Son of God is so nearby? That question has got to be answered by me and answered by you. Why will ye die, O Israel? Well, this question found here in Ezekiel 18 and 31, "Why will ye die, O house of Israel?" In this question, God asked for a reason for their conduct. Up to this point, they hadn't taken into consideration what the end would be. So he asked them this personal question, "Why will you die?" Now, the question here can only be put to a rational being. It can't be put to a lion or a tiger. It can only be put to a rational being, a human being. Now, a man is conscious that he is a rational being. He's conscious of that. And that he exists, and he thinks, and he reasons, and after he reasons, he decides the case. He's a rational being. God is speaking to a human being, a rational being, and the question is to this rational being who thinks and contemplates and decides. He asks him, "Why will you die?" And the next question then is, as our Lord, by the Spirit of God, speaks to these people, after he thinks and reasons, he decides the case. He walks, and he lives, and he breathes, and he eats, and he drinks, and he sleeps. A rational being. Now God's reason with man, as when he says down in that next verse, verse 32, he says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord, wherefore turn ye selves and live." I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now God's speaking, as I've already said, this question to reasonable men who think and act. And he says, why will you die? Now, in another place in the scripture it says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Your sins shall be whiter than snow." Now, in this particular portion of Scripture, or in this particular question in verse 31, where he says, "For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" He demands, God demands a reason for the course of a man's conduct. There's some that's in the narrow way, and there's some that's in the broad way, and there's some in between. Now, God, in this question, knows, and the man knows, that he's a rational being, able to think and to reason. Now, so, in light of that, God asks this question, "Give me a reason why you'll die." He demands a reason for the course of their conduct, and he speaks to them, "Why will you die, O house of Israel?" He asks for a reason and believes that they are capable of giving him an answer. So that question is to all of us here this morning. Come, let us reason together. He asks you and I for a reason why we will not consent to him. Well, it seems to me that men are determined to destroy themselves. There's a few of us gathered here this morning, and a few in other places, but the bulk of the world's population is not gathered into a place where they can hear about the true and the living God. All men everywhere know that they're going to die. We know we're going to die. We've taken that into consideration, that one of these days, whether we're young or whether we're old, we're going to die. We're going to die, and if we are without the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, will die a terrible, terrible death. Now, I've said that God believes and knows that men are capable of giving Him an answer. It seems to me that men, everywhere and every place, are determined. They got their minds set. They are determined to destroy themselves. What death is here intended, I'll leave you to make that answer. Why will ye die? Well, I'm sure that he's talking about a death that is not natural. All will die. All men, women, and children will die. A natural death. He's not talking about a natural death here. He's talking about another death, the death of deaths. Now, man cannot decide how long he lives. That's not up to us. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And only God knows the time that you die. But it's a sure thing that we all will die. So it's not a natural death that he's talking about here. Man, with all of his ingenuity, he cannot lengthen his days by 1 second. You can take the most diligent care of your body. You can go to the doctors and be examined and all that, but you cannot, in any sense of the word, lengthen your days. You cannot live 1 second more than what destiny has afforded for you. So the death that he's talking about here when he says, why will you die, is not a natural death that he's talking about. There's another death. He can't lengthen his days by a minute or a second. And old Job says his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee. He has appointed the bounds that he cannot pass. Now, all of us here, being rational beings, know we have no control over our natural death. It may be that someone may die here this morning in this service. It could be me. It could be you. None of us know. You might think you know, but you don't know. No one knows when he'll die. It's not subject to the will of man to know when they're going to die. It's enough to know that you're going to die. So this death is not the death of the speaker or that which is spoken of in Ezekiel 18, chapter 31, or verse 31, when it says, cast away from you your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O Israel. Why? Well, I know and you know, I believe, and we'll not have no argument over this. This is a death that is beyond this world. Why will you die this death which is beyond this world? This is a death that is beyond the grave. This is a second death beyond the dying of the body. The Scriptures say, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why will ye die this second death, the real death? When we die this natural death, our bodies goes into the ground, into the dirt, and becomes dust. But in the second death is the death of all deaths, fire and brimstone. No end to the second death. It goes on. We think it's a long time when we have 300 and some days in 1 year. We think that's a long time for my birthday to come around, 12 months. But oh, to think of that time in that lake of fire and brimstone where there is no end. One day will be like 1,000 years for a man. Why will you die, is the question, when the Son of God is so nearby? Why will you die? That's what he's talking about here, the second death. A man who does not know the gospel of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all men who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and are strangers to the gospel of Christ, this death which men are exposed of while they are in the state of degradation, when they are outside of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they know not him whom God has sent to rescue them from the second death, they will experience beyond a shadow of a doubt that awful place called hell. Why will you die when the atonement that the Lord Jesus Christ has made will cover you from all your sins? Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, God reasons with the man, and a man reasons with God. God wants to know what the reason is. Why are you like you are? Why do you rebel? Or why do you think lightly of what God has done in Christ? come, let us reason together. This death to which men are exposed of while they are outside of the ark of safety, the Bible says that he that believeth not shall be damned. This is the death to which man are subject of. He that believeth not shall be damned. Man that doesn't believe what God has said and what God has inspired men to put in this Bible. If men reject that and reject the answer that God demands, men will experience that death of deaths, which is fire and brimstone, which is being separated forever and forever. Why will you die? God says. Well, it's a fact, I believe, that sinners do neglect the Savior. There are multiplied billions of people upon this earth who care very little about what God has said. Very little. They neglect the truth. They neglect God. They neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. They neglect the message of the Bible. Even though they know that there is no other name under heaven whereby we might be saved. Most men, sometime in their life, has been faced with that question and that answer. Why will ye die? When the Scriptures say there is no other name among men whereby ye might be saved. God has made it perfectly clear as the shining of the sun that the way of salvation is through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Yet this mad world, for the most part, will not even consider who the Lord Jesus Christ is. All they know about this time of the year is a Christmas tree, but they know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning work, that He who knew no sin. Oh, the greatest gift that God ever gave to men was the Lord Jesus. He sent Him to atone, to make an atonement for man's sin. Yet this world and its religion does not consider or give thought to who He is and what He's done. God has made it plain as the shining of the sun that salvation is through His Son. Now, it's not because God delights in the death of sinners. In verse 23 of this same chapter, it says this, verse 23, if you care to look at it. Remember I said now, God does not delight in the death of a sinner. He wants to reason with the sinner. Come, let us reason together. Now he says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? This is what God says. He says, why will ye die, O Israel? And over here he says, I have no pleasure at all that the wicked should die. I don't have any pleasure in it. I'm asking you some questions, he said. These are eternal questions. Why will ye die? I have no pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live. If you die this death, it will not be because God and his commands are unreasonable. If you die this death, that'll not be the reason. You cannot point the finger at God and say your demands are unreasonable and far-fetched. Oh no, God's demands are not unreasonable. Why will you die when the Son of God is so nearby? Why will you die? Well, we come here this morning to the latter end of our preaching service. And I say to you and to me, why will you die? When the Bible says, is there not bread enough in my Father's house? There's enough bread for all. Why will you die when the Son of God is so nearby? You trust in yourself. You trust in what you do and what you don't do. Why will you die? You will die. And this death that he's talking about is that awful death. The death whereby a man goes off into the regions of the damned, and he's there forever and forever and forever. Eternity! Eternity! How can you think about going out into this unknown place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and stay there for eternity when there's no end of eternity? Eternity is in one. It's not an eternity past, an eternity to come. It's all one eternity. No end to it. Why, God says, will you die? Why will you die this second death? Is there not bread enough in my Father's house? Is there not enough love in the Father's heart? Is there not room enough in heaven for you? Why will you die? You must answer that question. Why will you die? You got no control over this first death. None whatsoever. You don't know the day and the hour or the second that but you're going to die. You're going to die. Your body's going into the grave. But then there's the second death. If you're not prepared for the first death, what about the second death? The second death, when a man goes out into eternity and experiences the hell of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore the pain and the suffering and the shame of His people on the tree. Here this innocent man who knew no sin, always pleased God every second and every minute throughout the eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ was the obedient Son, pleased God in everything. "This is my beloved Son," God said, "in Him I am well pleased." He took on Himself the punishment that was due sinners like you and I. That punishment, He took it. He took our shame. They took this man called Christ. They took Him and they took all of His clothes off. They took every rag that He had on Him. Stripped Him and nailed Him to a tree. And doing so, He took our shame. They made Him shame. They shamed the Son of God. God in the flesh. Wicked men who will fill eternity with the second death. Took His clothes off. Shamed Him. And made Him suffer on a tree. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in His shame and in His suffering, made atonement for our sins. So I say to you this morning, why will you die when the Son of God is so nearby? Why won't you call upon Him? Huh? Oh, why will you die? Now I ask this question. Is there not room enough in heaven for you? There's plenty of room. Why will you die? Why will you die? God reasons with you, and He deserves an answer. Why will you die? Oh, Israel, why will you die? And you can't give any reason that I know of. Why you won't. The Lord help us. Well, those are the thoughts this morning that come to my mind about this. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about myself. I know that I won't have too many more days upon this earth. And some of you are along with me. It's just day by day. And I want to be sure in my own heart, I want to have some proof of the Spirit of God that my heart is right with God. That I'm not trying to present to God a record of my good deeds. Anything that I ever done that I thought was good is tainted with sin. I have nothing that was not tainted with sin. But I want to know in my heart and mind for sure that I'm His and He's mine. That I'm trusting in nothing or nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. That I believe with all of my heart, mind, and soul the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that this man called Jesus suffered for me. He took my place on that tree. He was made sin, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want to be with Him when I say my last prayer and close my eyes at last. I want to have some confidence that I'm going to be with Him. Why will you die? when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came and died for sinners? Why will you die? That's a question that you'll have to answer. God reasons with people. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than the snow. Why will you die? Are you determined to die? And you will die. God help us. God help us. May God give you a good hope in Him and Him alone.